Welcome back to the News at Noon. For those of you concerned about the proposed 765 kilovolt transmission line, which I think everyone listening seems to be, this statement was sent to me by Tony Kurtz within the last hour. This is a letter Mr. Kurtz sent out today to Virginia Limiatis, MGS Outreach Specialist. So this is the outreach specialist for the company that will be putting these lines up that has won the bid for the project. And Mr. Kurtz said, "Over the past several weeks, I have heard from numerous constituents throughout the 41st Assembly District regarding the proposed BECI 765 kilovolt transmission line. Landowners, farmers, and residents have raised serious concerns about the potential impact this project could have on their property, farmland, and communities. As Mid-Continent Grid Solutions continues planning this project, I strongly urge the company to follow Wisconsin's existing transmission line siting priorities and make every effort to utilize existing corridors before impacting additional private property. Under Wisconsin Statute Chapter 1.12.6, new electric transmission lines should prioritize 1. Existing utility corridors, 2. Highway and railroad corridors, 3. Recreation trails, 4. New corridors. Based on the concerns and information that have been shared with my office, I am adamantly opposed to the current routes. I believe MGS needs to take a closer look at whether existing utility, highway, and railroad corridors can be better utilized before pursuing routes that create new impacts on private land. For many families I represent, this is more than simply a piece of property on a map. Some of these farms have been in the same family for generations, and I have heard firsthand how upsetting it is for landowners to face the possibility of having their property permanently altered by a new transmission corridor. The farmland, natural resources, and unique landscape of the Driftless area are an important part of our communities and something generations have worked hard to preserve. These families have worked hard to care for their land and pass it down to the next generation, and their concerns deserve to be taken seriously. This project remains in the planning stages, and MGS still has an opportunity to listen to the people who would be directly affected. I strongly urge MGS to reconsider routes that unnecessarily impact family farms, private property, and our rural communities, and instead prioritize existing utility, highway, and railroad corridors consistent with Wisconsin law to minimize the burden on affected landowners. Thank you for your consideration. Please feel free to contact my office with any questions. Sincerely, Representative Tony Kurtz, 41st Assembly District." Also this morning, Richland County Board Chair Kerry Severson dropped off a statement from himself. "Dear Richland County residents, business owners, and taxpayers, the BECI 765 kilovolt transmission line threatens our community on a scale we may not have experienced previously. Your thoughtful input, including concerns and ideas on how to defend our county, are much appreciated. The transmission line has created much angst, yet it is heartwarming to witness neighbors helping neighbors, joining together in opposition of the line. As you may be aware, MGS is the company that was awarded the BECI project. MGS has released preliminary routes of where the transmission lines may be constructed. These routes are proposals and no final determinations have been announced. Public listening sessions are essential opportunities for you to learn more, become involved, and help guide community responses and actions. At the county level, we are evaluating participation as an intervener in the Wisconsin Public Service Commission proceedings. As an intervener, the county would become directly involved in the legal process. This will take legal and financial resources, which must be utilized in a prudent and responsible manner. Several months ago, the county declined an invitation to join Vernon as an intervener opposing the Maribel transmission line. Maribel is another transmission project immediately to the west of BECI, interconnecting near Bell Center. The Maribel segment was awarded to a company other than MGS and is progressing on a separate timeline. Due to the Maribel line being with a different company and a different project that would not touch Richland County, the county could not be an intervener at that with that line. The county had submitted written resolutions in March and in August for information from MGS. A response was received from the March resolution, but it did not answer the questions posed to them. The deadline for the August resolution is September 14th. The county now has more facts and is evaluating joining with other counties affected by the BECI line to oppose the transmission lines. Together, we may have greater impact. Additionally, the county has prepared a resolution in opposition to construction of the BECI transmission line. The resolution is moving through the county's approval process. The key aspects of opposition are: 1, the line is not needed; 2, the route proposal has disregarded the statutory rules for where lines should be located; 3, the line will harm the environment, property values, and economy of Richland County. The county does not have direct decision-making authority over construction of the BECI line. The energy that comes from the frustrations can be focused on what can be done. We can join together in making sure all neighbors, friends, and family are aware of this immense project. We can offer our individual talents to the citizen groups opposing the line. This fight is not over, and we continue to stand with you for the long haul. The Richland County Sheriff's Office is currently investigating a two-vehicle crash involving a school bus on Highway 80 at County Highway RC. The incident occurred when a school bus owned and operated by Cobus Bus Service was traveling southbound on State Highway 80 and turned onto County Highway RC, where it was struck on the right side by a northbound vehicle. Fortunately, no serious injuries have been reported at this time. To assist in corroborating witness statements obtained at the scene, law enforcement officials are awaiting a review of the onboard dash camera from the school bus, the footage from the onboard dash camera from the school bus. The investigation remains ongoing, and authorities have indicated that no further information is available at this time. The County EMS Ad Hoc Committee has canceled the public EMS town hall, originally scheduled for September 29th, as townships and municipalities continue to lead discussions on the matter. Communication between the organizations is ongoing and public input is still encouraged. Residents are advised to contact their township or municipality's representatives or EMS Ad Hoc Committee Chair Bob Frank for further information. A tragic farm accident claimed the life of a 74-year-old local farmer on Tuesday following a grain bin entrapment in the town of Viroqua. Emergency responders were dispatched to a farm on Cherry Grove Road just before 12:30 p.m. after receiving a 911 call reporting that the farm's owner, Raymond J. Ackman, was trapped inside a grain bin. According to authorities, Ackman had entered the bin to free shelled corn that had caked or bridged while being unloaded into an auger. The grain unexpectedly collapsed beneath him, burying him in a heavy accumulation of corn. First responders arrived on the scene within 5 minutes of the emergency call and immediately launched an extensive rescue operation. Numerous local emergency agencies, neighbors, and volunteers worked tirelessly to free Ackman from the grain. Despite their exhaustive efforts, Ackman was pronounced dead at the scene. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson and Coroner Betty Nye commended the massive response from the surrounding community and partnering agencies, including 5 fire departments, along with Gunderson's Tri-State Ambulance, Gunderson Air, and Vernon County Emergency Management. As students return to classrooms across Wisconsin, public health officials are emphasizing the critical need for up-to-date back-to-school vaccinations. In light of recent measles activity within the state, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services is urging parents and caregivers to review their children's immunization records promptly. Ensuring children receive recommended vaccines helps safeguard individual student health and prevents potential classroom outbreaks. Recent data indicates that kindergarten, vaccination rates for measles, mumps, and rubella remain below the 95% threshold required to maintain herd immunity. Combined with an increase in non-medical vaccine waivers, the risk of disease transmission in school environments remains heightened. The DHS encourages families to consult health care providers, utilize the Wisconsin Immunization Registry to verify coverage, or access state assistance programs like Vaccines for Children to ensure a safe and healthy academic year. A federal court recently addressed the case of Stephen Anderegg, a 42-year-old man from Wisconsin charged with producing, distributing, and possessing explicit images of children. Authorities discovered that Anderegg used AI technology to create thousands of highly realistic, explicit images of children who do not exist. He allegedly used simple text prompts to instruct the software to generate these images and even sent some of them to a teenager online. While Anderegg still faces criminal charges for creating and distributing the material, a judge dismissed the specific charge related to his private possession of the images at home. The court explained that current legal protections for private in-home possession of materials still apply here because the images depicted computer-generated children rather than real victims. The judges noted that while this decision was legally required under previous court rulings, it highlights a growing problem. AI technology has advanced so quickly that it can create fake images that look nearly identical to real abuse, and our laws may need to be updated to keep with these technological changes. Ahead of the upcoming Labor Day weekend, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding ATV and UTV riders to prioritize safety through its Think Smart Before You Start campaign. Conservation wardens and county recreation deputies will be out in increased numbers patrolling trails and routes across the state. This unified enforcement mission focuses on accident prevention by monitoring for illegal and unsafe operations, with a particular emphasis on OWI detection, speeding, and the proper utilization of safety equipment. The urgency of this campaign is underscored by sobering year-to-date statistics, which show 31 ATV-UTV fatalities and 66 self-reported non-fatal accidents in Wisconsin. Lieutenant Jacob Holslaw, DNR Off-Highway Vehicle Administrator, noted that the trend is moving in the wrong direction. A large percentage of injury and fatal crashes involve riders not wearing helmets or seatbelts, operating while without completing a safety course, or with some level of impairment, Holsklaw stated, adding that he cannot stress enough the need for the public to regulate themselves every time they go out riding. To ensure a safe holiday weekend, riders are urged to always operate sober and wear helmets, seat belts, and eye protection, even during the loading and unloading process. Safety protocols also include following all regulatory signs and speed limits, coming to a full stop at stop signs, and staying to the extreme right-hand side of traffic lanes with lights on while on routes. Finally, the DNR encourages everyone to take a safety class regardless of age requirements. The 170th annual Iowa County Fair is being held today through Monday at the Iowa County Fairgrounds in Mineral Point. Several events that will be held tonight include at 6 o'clock a junior market gilt show followed by a peewee show. Bull riders and barrel racing will be in the grandstands at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Will feature an antique tractor display in the morning at 10 a.m. In the evening, a lumberjack show and log rolling will be held at 7 o'clock and at 8 o'clock. There will be live music with Daniel Nordstrom and his band. Other featured events include on Saturday at 5:30, a truck and tractor pull, Sunday at 5 o'clock, a demolition derby, and on Monday, harness racing will be at 1 o'clock. Each day, there will be animal shows and exhibits, midway rides, live music, and food. Daily admission is $10 for adults, $5 for youth 8 to 12, and ages 7 and under are admitted for free. Season passes can also be purchased. Cost is $40 for adults, $15 for youth. You can find more information and a full schedule at iowacountyfair.com.
Samuel Swinehart gave an interesting account of those early days in Richland County. And now for Richland County Historical Society History Moment. Here's the rest of the story. According to U.S. Gen Web, UW Richland Books, 1906, Chapter 3. At a meeting of the old settlers in Richland County, a number of years ago, Sam Swinehart summarized the following. He first crossed the Wisconsin River in October of 1843 in a canoe a short distance just above Muscadet at a landing near the mouth of Indian Creek. He then made his way along the north shore of the Wisconsin to the mouth of the Pine River and pitched his camp on the east bank. Soon he was compelled to move by the Winnebago Indians that were located there. They were inclined to appropriate everything of their own use that he had. The latter part of October and the first of November were occupied in exploring the valley of the Pine River as far north as Rockbridge, where the West Branch passed through the rocks. He passed through the upper chur of that with a canoe, making that of pine logs for travel, so light that he could easily carry it on his back if needed, and under a log if he needed to go there, or the obstructions of the river as you travel it. He established his camp in November of 1843. After satisfying himself with a meal, the next day he took off, and consideration was made whether logs should be floated down the Pine River to the Wisconsin River. For this purpose, November 15th, he embarked on another route to Rockbridge, the name he had given it, by the way, in his tiny boat, that same pine canoe, up the river, which he found to be of good depth and travel, the shoals or rapids, a beautiful stream, that was quite crooked in some spots and had many acute angles. He was describing the Pine River. About the fourth day, he reached the mouth of the Willow Creek, where he found an old Indian village, many of the wigwam poles still standing there. He found places where the Indians had smelted lead ore and made a shallow basin in that ground, placing flat stones on the bottom, then the ore on the stones, and a fire on the ore. Proceeding on his journey, he went 2 days north, which brought him more to the mouth of what was the Pine River. On his journey, he had with him a gun, 2 dogs, a pair of blankets, a hatchet, a frying pan, and some hardtack. Hardtack, of course, is meat that has been dried. He returned in December that same year, accompanied by John Yost, Nathaniel Green, Hiram Palmer, and a Mr. French. They didn't list his first name. An attempt was made to reach Rockbridge. They went by the way of Indian Creek. They used a sled drawn by 2 yoke of oxen. The snow was very deep. A trial and trail that they had for 2 days were obliged to burn back. They went to Muscadet. The party, which went upstream to within 2 miles of Ash Creek, later that spring, because the weather grew warmer, the ice grew thinner, and in many places the current had cut its out, rendering almost what would be impossible to proceed. The weather became colder, and they moved forward from this point to the rocks of the east side of the river, a mile where we now know Bowen's Mill to be located, and afterward from that journey, which was very laborious, because they had to deal with ice in many places along the river, and their sleds were hauled through deep snow and over logs, over brush, and even more numerous swamp areas. But the energy and perseverance of those men, after 15 days of a great trip of hardship and fatigue, they reached the rocks at Rockbridge and decided there that they would make their logging camp. In the fall of 1845, Mr. Swinehart was a party of men that were first located with the wagon road that went from Orion to Rockbridge, and making note, they also made that route in the same following winter under contract to cut out a trail along the Pine River, 18 feet wide, made all of logs and trees and brush that were above the ice. Listen next week to the history of Richland County covering tornadoes in Richland County.
Today's History Moment is a service of the Richland County Historical Society. Members of the Historical Society enjoy reminiscing with the Achy Breaky newsletter. A strong membership base keeps the Historical Society viable and active by promoting the study and appreciation of local history, the sponsorship of programs devoted to local history, and the maintenance and access to the Achy School Museum. Annual memberships are just $10 for an individual or family, $20 for a business, or $100 for a lifetime individual or family membership. Memberships can be mailed to Richland County Historical Society, 213 South Central Avenue, apartment number 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. You can also learn more at richlandcountyhistoricalsociety.weebly.com.
Thank you, Ken Thied. A deer die-off in two Wisconsin counties, according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Epizootic hemorrhagic disease has killed over 700 deer in Washington and Waukesha counties in recent weeks. The disease is fatal to deer, and because it's transmitted by insect bites, it's impossible to stop until the winter freeze kills off insects. EHD does not affect humans. If you spot a dead deer, call the DNR at 608-267-0866. Keep safe boating in mind this holiday weekend. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds boaters that lakes and rivers are expected to be crowded this Labor Day weekend. DNR wardens have investigated 21 fatal boating incidents so far this year, and in most cases, victims were not wearing life jackets. Boat operators and passengers should wear Coast Guard approved life jackets, stay sober, obey boating laws, and avoid distractions on the water. It's also recommended to check safety equipment before heading out and letting someone know your plans before you leave the dock. A Wisconsin prison plan would close Green Bay Correctional after 2031. The proposed overhaul would close the aging facility while investing hundreds of millions of dollars in others. DePeer Republican Representative Benjamin Franklin says a draft bipartisan plan calls for borrowing nearly $629 million, including about $259 million, to rebuild parts of Waupun Correctional Institution. The proposal would also expand capacity at several prisons, convert the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison into an adult facility, and add mental health and family housing space at Tichita Women's Prison. Lawmakers could introduce the bill when the next legislative session begins in January.